Today, Shir's Masechet Ksubos on Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin with the Mishnah towards the bottom of Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Begins the Mishnah. Mi shehoya nasui dalet nashim umei. Someone who is married to four wives and he died. We have learnt in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, we learnt about someone who was married to three women. Mi shehoya nasui shalosh nashim umei. And there, Rashi on that Mishnah said, and I quote, Ushlashtan, all three of the ksubos that the three women are asking from their husband, Nechtmu b'yoyim echad. There, in that case, they were all signed on the same day. The ibitlasa yoyim, he says Rashi, if they were done over a period of three different days, Hakoidemis bishtar, koidemis begivui. The one who had an earlier date in the ksuba would be the one who would have an earlier lien on the estate of the husband, and she would be the one to collect before the others. In the last Mishnah, they were all written on the same day, and there wasn't enough to satisfy all three ksubos, and each one had a different amount, and there the Gemara gave a formula of how they would divide the estate that the husband had left over. Here, in our Mishnah, this is the very case that Rashi says the other Mishnah is not speaking about. Here, we are in fact speaking about that all four ksubos were written on the same day. And therefore, since they're written on the same day, in our Mishnah is speaking about the case where they're not written on the same day. And therefore, whoever was written first has a earlier lien on the estate. And if there's not enough to satisfy all four ksubos, the one who has it earlier will get the first crack at satisfying her ksuba. Says the Mishnah, Mishoya nasi dalad nashim umeis, hari shayna kodemis lishniya. Since they were written on four different days, the opposite of the earlier Mishnah, so the one who had an earlier ksuba, an earlier lien, she comes before the second one. Ushniya and the second one, lishlishis, she comes before the third one. Ushlishis and the third one, l'revia, she comes before the fourth one. V'rishoina nishbas lishniya, and now the Mishnah tells us that the first one, if, as Rashi explains, the second one asks the first one to swear. Swear to me that you have not been paid off by the husband in his lifetime, then the first one has to swear to the second one. The yesod of the Mishnah and the Gemara that we're going to learn today is that if the previous lien, when it's satisfied, could be a detriment to someone else, that other person could be mechayev you in a shvua. So here, if the first one gets paid, the second one says, if you were paid already, by you being paid now, you're causing me a detriment. There may not be enough to satisfy my lien. And therefore, I am being mashbia, you swear to me that you didn't receive anything before. And the same thing, ushniel ushlishes. The second can make the second would have to swear to the third, second would have to swear to the third one. Ushlishes. L'revius, and the third one would have to swear to the fourth one. Now, v'revius, if all the first three, their ksuba was satisfied, says the Tanakhama, revius, nefrash, shaloi b'shvua, the fourth one doesn't have to swear to anyone. She collects without swearing. However, Ben-Nanis Omer, Ben-Nanis says, v'chi mipnei shehi achron and iskeres, just because she's the last one, does she gain? Afhi loisipor al b'shvua, she also can only collect with a shvua. The Gemara will give different explanations what exactly is the machlokes between Tanakhama and Ben-Nanis. One machlokes, which Rashi alludes to, is right here, Rashi alludes to Yesomim. When we say, we've learned in the Mishnah before, that the Isha does not collect her ksuba, minichse Yesomim, unless she swears. What kind of Yesomim are we speaking about? Are we speaking about Yesomim Ktanim, who don't know anything about what's going on in their father's estate and are Ktanim? Or is it even speaking about Gedolim as well? So Rashi says the Tana Kama holds over here that we only swear by Nichsei Yisraimim Ktanim and not by Nichsei Yisraimim Gedolim. However, the Bananas will hold that even if it's our Mishnah speaking about that she's trying to collect it from Yisraimim Gedolim, she would also have to swear. Now you'll notice that in our Mishnah, the first one has to swear to the second one. And the second one has to swear to the third one, and so on. But the first does not have to swear to the third. L'chaira, when the first is collecting, if she had already collected her ksuba in the lifetime of her husband, she now, by collecting again, would be causing a detriment, perhaps to the third one, perhaps to the fourth one. Why doesn't she have to swear to them? So on this, the Gemara is going to tell us a rule, that shvuah le'echad, shvuah le'meah. That since it's the same nidun here, it's the same discussion, have you already collected in your lifetime? Will you be causing me a detriment by collecting again that I perhaps will not be able to collect my ksuba? So once you've already sworn to the first, once the first one has sworn to the second one, that same shvua suffices for the third and the fourth as well. So Rashi here, Taisus, in Divrei HaMaskil, Mishra Yanasi, the bottom Taisus asked an interesting question. Taisus' question is, why does our Mishnah have to be speaking about four women? Three women, I can understand why the Mishnah has to be speaking about. Why? I need two women because only through two women do I have the machlokes between Ben Nanis and the Tana Kama. By two women, and the first one collects, does the first one have to swear to the second one or not? Tana Kama says no, and Ben Nanis says yes, and we'll see the reasons for this in the machlokes. We'll see further in the Gemara and Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. So I need two women. I need three women in this case also. Because three women will teach me the Chiddush, as we just said, Shvuah le'echad, Shvuah le'meah. Since you're already swearing, the first one is swearing to the second, that she hasn't been paid in the lifetime of the husband, and she's not coming for a double dip now, which would cause a detriment to the second one, so that same shvuah, that's the exact same shvuah she would have to swear to the third, and to the fourth. So what does she have to swear so many times over and over? She swears one time, and it's sufficient. So for that chiddush, I need three women. That she only has to swear to the second woman and not to the third. The question is, what do you need a case of four women? What's the fourth woman teaching us that I couldn't learn from the first three women? So it's interesting, the sheet in the name of the Talmidei HaRashba say that what our Mishnah is telling us is a side halacha. That even before Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon, even though, as we see from the Mishnayos here, there we had the first Mishnah in the Perek that somebody was married to two women, and then we had the last Mishnah, someone was married to three women, and now we have someone who's married to four women, but the Mishnah is trying to tell us, don't go above four. Maybe we learn from Yaakov Avinu, he had four wives. That's the maximum even before Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon, the Rivon. And also the Meiri say that the reason our Mishnah is speaking about four women is for a practical reason. Since we're learning Torah Shabbat Peh, and before Rebbe wrote down the Mishnayos, before the Gemara was written, it was all done by Peh. So this was a very useful pedagogical tool where they would remember halachas practically through numbers. So they knew that halacha that I learned in the first Mishnah about Benin Dichrin, that was, oh yeah, that was about two women. The next halacha was about three women. The halacha that we're learning here today, this was a case with four women. Yitaka don't need four women to tell me the chidushim, but it was a practical way of remembering the halachas. Continues the Mishnah. Ha yu yoitza is kulam b'yoyim echad. What happens if all the shtoris were written on the same day? The first case that the Mishnah, as we mentioned, is speaking about they were written on different days. And that's why one has a previous lien to the other. But what happens if all the ksubas were written on the same day? Kol ha-koidemis l'chavrita afil shor'acha zachza. So if, as we're going to see from the next line in the Gemara, for example, in Yerushalayim, they didn't just write the day of the week, but they used to write the very hour that it was written. So if one ksubah precedes another ksuba. By an hour, this is the third hour of the day, this is the fourth hour of the day, the one who has an earlier lien will collect first. In fact, in Yerushalayim, they used to write what hour the ksuba was written. But what happens if Hoyu Kulon Yoitzes B'Shoah Achas, if they were all written at the same hour, in the same hour, Ve'ein Shom El Amona, and there is only a mona to divide, the halacha is Cholkes B'Shova, or if you're not in Yerushalayim, if you're in a place where they don't write hours, so then the halacha is where you have all these liens being in effect at the same time, so then the halacha is that they divide it equally. Now, as the Gemara, what is the basis of the machlokes between Ben Danis and the Tanakhama? B'mai kamiflugi, what are they arguing in Amar Shmuel, says Shmuel, as we turn to the Tzadik Dal Amar Aleph, kegoin shen nimtzas achas mehen soda she'en ashaloi. Rashi learns that the case is that it is known that one of the three earlier fields that were collected by the first three women did not belong to their husband. He had stolen it. So now, let's continue with the next line. And the machlokes between Tanakam and Benanis is in this halacha. What happens if somebody made a choiv on Sunday? He made another loan on Monday. And he had property which he sold subsequent to the loans. And then he didn't have money to pay. So the halacha is that the malva, the lender, can go to the lekuchais, to the ones who had bought the property, and can say, I'm sorry, I had a lien on the property. He owed me money. He can't pay the money. I have to go to your property. So what happens if the second balchoiv, who had the second lien, he jumped ahead of the first one, and he collected before the first one? And there's only enough to satisfy one of them, not both of them. So can the first one go to the second one and say to him, hey, listen, my lien came first. There's only one field that we can collect both from. I come before you. You jumped ahead and you collected it. You have to give it to me. That is a machloikis. There is an argument. Of course, l'chatchila, the first one who has the lien, which precedes the other lien, he comes first. The question is, b'di'evet, if it happened that the second one jumped ahead, who gets it? Does the second one keep it, or does he have to give it up to the first one? So if, in our case over here, where we know, says Rashi, that one of the fields that the three first women collected did not belong to the husband. And now the fourth woman, wants to collect her field. So the question is, once she collects it, will one of the earlier women, will they have recourse to go to that fourth field? Once one of the first three fields is taken away, will she be able to go, whether it's woman one or woman two or woman three, one of those women who are going to lose their field, can they go over to woman number four and say, you were a Balchov who was a later Balchov, your lien was later. And since I had to give up my field, and my lien came first, therefore I want to get it back from you. This is mamish the case of Baal Chov Me'ucher, the fourth woman whose lien was the last one. She has a chov, she has a lien against the property, but her lien comes last. Shekadam V'gava, and she jumped ahead and she collected it. What does it mean she jumped ahead? She waited her turn. But the fact, as it's going to play out in the Bezdin, is that Bezdin's going to take that field away because it was stolen. So it'll come out that she didn't mean to jump ahead, but that's what happened. In facts are that she has now collected the remaining fourth field, and one of the earlier women has no field at all. So it comes out that she jumped ahead. Does she have to give that up or not? So Tanakama sover mashagova loigova. The Tanakama says, yes, you have to give it up. So there's no reason to make the fourth woman swear. Because as we've learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara till now, what's the whole reason why they have to swear one woman to the other? That you're causing me a detriment, I won't be able to collect. I will be able to collect. If they take away this field from me, I'll be able to go to the fourth lady and say, give me your field. Because we paskin masha gova loy gova. If somebody jumped ahead of his turn, he has to give it up. So what's the reason, what's the need for a shvua? However, ben nanis sover, no, masha gova gova. If I'm going to let her collect this fourth field, once she has it, she keeps it. So then, the Benanis says, the lady number one, or lady number two, lady number three, whoever has that field that Bezdin knows was stolen, can come to lady four and say, wait a second, you're collecting this field, this might be a detriment to me. Because once you collect it, you don't have to give it up. And I'm going to have to lose my field, and then where am I going to collect from? You have to swear to me that you never got paid the ksuba in the lifetime of the husband. Ask Tosfos a very strong question of Rashi. If we know that there's a field stolen, so what is the whole discussion over here? Whether she has to make a shvua that she didn't take in the lifetime of her husband, Bezdin should say, excuse me, we know this is a stolen field, give up your field and give it to the woman who has an earlier lien who has a stolen field. That should be the issue. It shouldn't be that she's able to collect it, but she should collect it with a shvua. She shouldn't be able to collect it if we know that one of the first three fields are stolen. That's Tosfos' question on Rashi. And as a result, and Tosfos says it's difficult to say, ain't svar alone meshin imtsas achas men sadesh ein shloi ve'ein yadua eze. It's difficult to say, we know one of the fields here is stolen, we don't know which one. Therefore, Tosfos says in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that when it says kigon shenimtzas achsman sada, it doesn't mean we actually know. But the reason why the lady one, two, or three can make lady four swear is perhaps there is going to be a field down the line, one of the first three, that's going to be contested, and we're going to be able to show the Bezdin will finally be able to determine that it was stolen, and they'll have to give it up. Therefore, they can be mechayev according to Tanaka, according to Ben Nanis, they can be mechayev shvua because they could say, as we've had the formula in our Mishnah, wherever you cause me a possible detriment, I can make you swear that you didn't collect the ksuba beforehand. So Tosfos learns even the possibility that this could happen. According to the Tanakhama, there's no problem. It's foolproof. Why? Because even if it happens, Masha gova loy gova. You have to give up the field. But according to Ben Nanis, if I let you collect here on the suspicion that maybe there's a stolen field, once you have it, you don't have to give it up. Therefore, you have to swear to me that you didn't get your ksuba earlier, because that's to my detriment. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravua. No. I disagree that the machlokus is in this shaila whether a balchov mocher shekarim v'gava is gava or not. No, the kuliyama masha gava loy gava. You have to give up the field. Oh, if you have to give up the field, so what's the swear of Benanis that you have to swear? So there's no detriment that the fourth lady could be causing. She's going to have to lose the field. Here the machlokus is, do we worry that maybe she will? The word tachsev means, as Rashi learned, she'll deplete it and run it down. Mar sover chashin in shema tachsev, umar sover loy chashin in shema tachsev. Tanakhama holds that we are not worried, maybe she will deplete it and run it down, and Benanis is worried maybe she will deplete it. The way Rashi learns the Gemara, the pshat is, that she's gonna have to give it up. So really, there's no reason for her to swear. Right? But we're playing like a psychological game against her, a trick that comes out, which a lot of other Rishonim don't like Rashi's Pshat. But we're making her swear through a trickery. What's Pshat? Because she says to herself, she rationalizes like this, if Bezdin doesn't make me swear, it means they're not worried that it's going to wind up by me. That's why they're not making me swear, because if I get it, I'm going to have to give it up. Oh, if I have to give it up, there's a chash that she will cause a depletion here. So we make her swear. If we make her swear, she'll think that that's why Benanis says make her swear. Make her swear, so then she'll think she's getting it. If she thinks she's going to keep it, she won't lose it, and that's why you're making her swear. Then she'll take care of the property. So Ben Nana says, I gotta make her swear, because if I don't make her swear, she'll say to herself, for sure I'm losing the property if there's a problem down the line. And Mimela, I'll just deplete it, take it, I won't take care of it, I won't make it grow more crops. And then, when the field is taken away, then that lady's gonna come to a field, a barren field. So that's why Ben Nana is told you have to make her swear and make sure that she'll take care of the property. The Chachamim say that even if we don't make her swear, we're not worried that maybe she's going to deplete the property. So there's no reason to make her swear. The Ramban says to make a shvu as a trick, he doesn't like that pshat. And therefore the Ramban learns that it's only a chashash ba'alma shema tachsif. Ben Nana holds that if I am afraid that a field's going to be taken away from me, and I'm going to have to come on to you, and maybe you will deplete it, that's enough to be mechayev you a shvua. That's how the Ramban learns. The Ramban is not a trick, but rather, the Ben Nana holds, that's enough to make you, I can't stop you from collecting it. The other three women have fields. You want the field, you're entitled to get a field. But I'm going to make you a shvua because I'm worried if push comes to shove and I have to get your field, you may not take care of it. Therefore, I want to have a shvua that you didn't collect the ksub in the lifetime of your husband. There's an interesting pshat here from Rav Shri Ragoin. Rav Shri Ragoin says the word tachsiv, not like Rashi, depleting the field. Tachsiv means from the word kisufa. Look what's happening here. The first three women have to swear. So they look like ganavim. We're chayshed them that maybe they collected. The fourth woman goes scot-free. She collects without a shvua. So people, perception of people be, hey, what did Beis Din do here? The first three, they were mechayiv. Oh, because they're probably women that you have to suspect of being stealers, cheaters. The fourth woman, oh, she's a tzedekes. In order not to cause embarrassment from the first three who had to swear that they shouldn't be embarrassed, we make the fourth woman swear even though there's no reason for her to swear. Continues the Gemara. Abaya says, no, it's a whole different machlok. He says, Rashi says, has nothing to do with worrying that a field was stolen by the husband. But here, it's the Abaya Kshishik Benana. Machlok is Benanis and Tanakama is in Abaya the elder. The Tani Abaya Kshisha. Because Abaya the elder said, Yisoyimim sh'amru, these Yisoyimim that spoke about in the Mishnah, G'doylim, when we say in the Mishnah, we learned earlier, that Habo l'fora min nichse Yisoyimim, a woman, let's say, wants to collect her ksuba from the Yisoyimim, so she can't collect it without a shvua. What Yisoyimim are we speaking about? G'doylim vein tzarech l'mektanim, it's even G'doylim. And certainly ktanim, who don't know what's going on with their father's estate, and they're not bardas yet, they're ktanim, certainly you can't take advantage of ktanim, and therefore you have to swear before you collect. Tanakama, less laid up by Akshisha. Our Mishnah is speaking about, that's what Rashi says in our Mishnah, it's speaking about gedoylim. So the Tanakama doesn't hold like a Akshisha, he holds gedoylim. You don't have to swear when you're collecting from dom. They know what's going on already, and therefore, you don't have to swear that you didn't take the property for the ksub in the lifetime of the father. Ben Nanis holds like a bayik shisha, and therefore the first three women have to swear to the other women. The fourth woman has to swear to the yisoyimim gedoylim. That's the machloikis Tanakam and Ben Nanis. Amar Rav Huna says Rav Huna on a new inyan, hani trei achi. There were if you have two brothers, utrei shutvi, as Rashi says, oi trei shutvi. The vav here means, or a case of two shutvi. The islei dino baharichad, and they're having a din Torah with another one litigant, va'ozl chadmanayu baharichadino, and one of the two brothers, or one of the two shutvim, went with that one litigant to a din Torah, and that one shutvim, or one brother, lost the din Torah. The other brother or the other partner cannot say to the person who won the din Torah, at lav baldvorm de dia. Yeah, you had a din Torah with my brother. You had a din Torah with my shutif. But if I would have been there, I would have won the din Torah. My partner lost the case, but I want to renew a new case for my part in this shutvis, or my part as a brother. You cannot say that. Ella, shlichu say of it. Your partner, when he went to the Torah, didn't just go for himself, he went for you. Your brother didn't just go for himself, he went for you also. Ikla Rav Nachman Lesura. Rav Nachman went to Sura. Shailui, the Beis HaMedrash in Sura, asked Rav Nachman this very question. Ki ha gavna mai. What's the din when you have such a case? Can the one brother who was not at the din Torah, the one shittif, say, I want a new din Torah for my part? Amar lahu masnisni. He says, that's our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Harishayin nishbaas l'shniyah. The first one has to swear to the second. Ushniyah l'shlishis. The second has to swear to the third. Ushlishis l'revius. The third has to swear to the fourth. V'ilu rishayin l'shlishis l'aykatani. It doesn't say in our Mishnah the first woman has to swear to the third. Why not? My taima. Lav mishum, is it not? Mishum d'shlichus avda. Because the second woman wasn't just making the first woman swear to her. She is a shlich for all the other wives. That's why the first one only swears to the second and not to the third and fourth woman. And therefore, the same thing over here, by two shutvim, you went to a dintar, one shutv with the other party, and you lost. So you're a shlich for your brother. You're a shlich for your shutv. You can't start a new dintar. Says the Gemara to Rav Nachman, me dummy. How could you compare our Mishnah to this case here? Hasam, as we brought from Tosfos, quoted this Gemara already on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, Shvua le'echad u'shvua le'meya. The same taina that the second woman has to the first woman, that if you got paid your ksuba before, by taking double dips, you're at a detriment to me. Well, the third woman has that same thing. The fourth woman has that same thing. So when she swears to the second, she's like swearing to the third and fourth. She's swearing to 100. If there were 100 wives, it would be the same din Torah and the same shvua that she'd have to swear. That's why she doesn't have to repeat the shvua over and over. She's saying categorically, I never got paid from my husband anything, and I'm entitled to the ksuba. But over here where you have what? Where you have two partners or two brothers. Hacha Amai, the other partner who wasn't at the din Torah, could say, Ilu ano avoy. If I would have been at the din Torah, Tanina Tvei. I'm a better Tayin than my brother, or than the other Shutav. I would have won the case if Bezdin would have heard my claim. So Mimela, at this point, the Gemara comes out, that ain't a Chanami. A Shutav, or a brother, who was not at the din Torah, could claim a new din Torah, because he could say, I could have done better. But the Gemara makes it dependent on the following. The lawyer, when do we say that I can claim a new din Torah, ela delay isya b'masa? You weren't there in the city. You were out of town when the din Torah took place. Aval isya b'masa, but if you were in the city, and yet you didn't bother showing up to Bezdin, iboil in the mystery. You may say you should have come, and you didn't come. Then, of course, your brother at the shutev is a shlich of you, and when he loses the case, you lost as well. There are many complications in the halacha. A person to be ma'ayin more should look in Chayshim Mishpat, Simen Ayin Zayin Sif Tes, Simen Kuf Chav Beis Sif Tes, and Simen Kuf Ayin Vav Sif Chav He, for all the dinim that are related to this shaila. I'll just mention one of them. The halacha is that even if the person is in town, the partner or the brother, and then l'chayra, if his partner, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, he loses if his brother lost and he didn't show up to Bezdin. But that's only if he has no new evidence, no new eidim, no new shtoris. But if he brings new eidim, new shtoris to prove his case, then he could reopen the case, even if he was in town at the original din Torah and lost. And more than that, the original Baal Din who lost the case, he himself, if he finds new evidence and new eidim or shtoris, can reopen the case. And that's why the brother is no different. Even if he was in town, he would be able to reopen the case. Itmar. We have learned, Bei Shtoris Hayotze B'yoy Mechad. What happens? A similar thing to our Mishnah. Two stories came out on the same day. In other words, a person sold a field to Reuven, and Reuven's very happy with his Mechira, and then it comes out that he finds out that Reuven sold not only the field to Shimon, Reuven sold it to Levi as well. So now who gets the field? So Tosfos asks right away, before we get into the Gemara, why doesn't the Gemara bring a proof from our Mishnah? What was the last in our Mishnah? That if there were kulum yoitzes b'shoachas, ve'ein sham elamona, cholkes b'shova. So that's the same thing over here. Just like by the four women. If the lien is all at one time, the din is, and there's not enough to satisfy everybody, then they divide it equally. So the same thing over here. You have a field that was sold to two people on the same day. Why give it to one over the other? Chalken. So Tais says, from our Mishnah is no proof. Our Mishnah is speaking about a shibud. A shibud ain't a chanami. If a person's mechayev himself on the same day, 3, 4, 100 shibudim, they're all chal. There's no, the only way one can be chal over the other is if it happened before the other. But if it happens all in the same time, then they're all chal. Our Gemara is not speaking about shibudim. Our Gemara is speaking about a shtar mecher or a shtar matana. And now we know that L'chayri, he sold it to one person. The question is, which one did he sell it to? Here it's not an Indian of a Shibbet. Here it's an Indian of a Matan or a Mecher. Here the Gemara wants to know what the Halach is. Memele, we can't bring a riot from our Mishnah, which is speaking about Shibbutim, which is a whole different Halach. So in this case, there's a Machlok, it's Rav Ushmul. Rav Omer Cholkin. Rav says, we divide it. Ushmul Omer Shudid Dedainet. And Shmuel brings in a whole new concept, which is called the discretion of the Dayanim. They can give it to whom they want. Now, what does that mean? First of all, the translation. Rashi says that the word shudak means throwing it. It either could mean we throw it into the lap of the Dayanim, or the Dayanim throw out, not means throw out the case, but throw out the psak. Not based on your regular proofs that you would bring with a shtar or with edim. That's what the word shoot. And Rashi brings the pasuk in the Shira, Yara Bayam. Hashem threw Mitzrayim into the sea. The Targums explain Shadi Bayama, that they were thrown into the yam. So the word shoot means Bezdin throws out the psak, meaning that they don't take the regular rayas that one would bring. So there's a machlokus rishonim. What does this mean exactly? The Rashbam in Bava Basra Daf Lamed Hey says that the dayanim have to ascertain, and Rashi on Amid Beis goes like this also. They have to figure out who the moicher would want to give it, who the present should be, who did this guy, who was he more friendly with, who did he visit more often. So by figuring out a character assessment and all the evidence that they could conjure up in their mind of who did he probably give it to, that's what they based their hachra on who should get this shtar mecher or shtar matana. However, Tosfos over there in Daf Lamed Hei and Bava Basra says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that shuta d'dayanim means the dayanim can give it to whomever they want. It's not totally on assessment, but discretion. Whoever they want, whoever they, for whatever the reason, maybe one is poorer than the other, he needs it more, they can decide whatever they want. So this is the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel here. Now, what is that Machlokes Rav and Shmuel Tolian? So the Gemara wants to make a Tolly in the famous Machlokes that we know from the beginning, Daf Beis and Masech the Gittin, whether by a get, Eidei Chasima Karti, or Eidei Mesira Karti. First, let us understand what that machlokus is, and then we'll see how that machlokus applies to our case right over here. Rav Meir holds Eidei Chasima Karti, which means that what creates the krisus karti, what creates the separation in the kesher between the husband and a wife in a marriage, that is the eidim who sign on the get. They give the essence of the get, its validity, and that causes the separation between husband and wife. Rabbi Eliezer says no. Eidei Mesirikarti. It's the Eidim that see the actual giving over of the get to the woman that causes the krisus, the separation between the husband and wife. Even though we have Eidim signing in the get, so Rav Eliezer holds, that's only a takana that Chazal did, because in case the Eidim die, or the Eidim Asira die, or they are Medina Sayyam, they're in a far-off country, so at least we have Eidim signing on the get, and therefore we can corroborate the signatures of those Eidim, and that will make that will validate the get, and we'll accept it. But the thing that's really causing the creases is the Eidim Asira. Now, what does this Machlokes Masechta Gittin have to do here? So Rashi explains Let's see first the Gemara inside. Rav de Omar, Lema, let us say, Rav de Omar Karab Meir, de Omar Eidechsi McCarthy. Let us say Rav holds like Rav Meir. Now, if we're going to see an Ahmed Beis, there's a question, did Rav Meir and Rav Lezer argue only by Gittin, or did they argue by regular Shtar Maton or Shtar Mecher also? So we're going here that they argued by Shtar Mecher also. Therefore, Rav holds like Rav Meir. What causes the validity of a Shtar Mecher, Shtar Maton? It's the Edom that are signing on it. Memela, if you're not in Yerushalayim where they wrote hours, they only wrote days. So, whatever time of day they wrote it, but they wrote it on the same day. So what makes a shtar the witness who signed? We have two valid shtars here with Adam that signed, and they're both on the same day, so it means that the moicher was, this is the way Rav understands it, was really selling it twice. And what he meant was, I want you to divide it. I don't want to give it to one over the other. Rav holds there's no aspect here of shuda d'daini. Shuda d'daini means we have to ascertain, we have to figure out. What's there to ascertain and figure out? One has as valid a claim to a shtar mecher or matana as the other one does. Memela d'din is yachloiku. As we turn to daf tzadik dalet amud beis, Shmuel d'amar k'rabbi Elazar, and Shmuel hold like Rabbi Elazar, d'amar eidim misira karti. Eidim misira, what causes a get? Or in our case, what causes a shtar? The eidim who see the actual giving over of the shtar. Now, if one misira was done before the other, according to Rabbi Elazar, the first misira will be the one that causes the chalos of the mechira to take place. And now, Beis Din has to decide, we don't know who got it first. But we figure out who he liked more. Reuven gave it to Shimon and to Levi. Who did he like more? He liked Shimon more. So probably, as Rashi says, he gave it to Shimon first. And Shimon was kind of it then. He gave it later to Levi. So Rashi says he was joking around with Levi. He was fooling Levi. He really didn't mean to give it to Levi. If you say it's the Eidim Asira that caused it, then the Eidim Asira, whoever received it first, gets it. So L'chayra, that'll be the machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel, the same machlokas as Rav Meir and Rav Lazar. Zakti Gemara, Loi. The Kuliyamik Rav Lazar. Everybody holds like Rav Lazar, the Eidim Asira. And why is it better to say everybody holds like Rav Lazar? Because we paskin by Gittin like Rav Lazar, that Eidim Asira. So we'd rather say that Rav and Shmuel don't argue against Rav Lazar in Rav Lazar, but everybody holds like Rav Lazar. So what's the machlokas, whether Cholkin or Shuda the Dini? V'halcha v'halcha mifli. Rav Sover Chaluka Adifa, Ushmuel Sover Shuda the Dini Adifa. We're going like Rav Lazar. Eidim Asira. So now, Beis Din has to figure out who got it first, who received it first. But the question is, what is a better way, according to Rav Meir, the way the Gemara is saying now, of course you have to say Cholkin, because nobody has a better claim one over the other. Eidi Chassim Akarti, as we explained. But by Eidi Mesira, whoever would have gotten it first would be the rightful owner. So now Rav holds, if we're going in Rav Lazar, the way the Gemara is going right now, Rav holds that in Rav Lazar, it's Chalukah Zadifa, as the Rush and the Rashbam and Bava Basra Lamed Hay explain, because when you divide it, you know for sure that the person who's really supposed to get it is at least getting half. So that's a better system than Shuda. If you do Shuda, the one who's supposed to get it really may be getting nothing. Maybe the wrong person will be assessed by Beis Din to get it. So you're better off to do Chalukah Adifa. Ushmuel Savar Shuda the Dina Adifa. Shmuel holds no. As the Rush explains, because when they get half, we know that there's one person who's definitely getting half that he's not supposed to get. The Rush says, look at it that way. When you split half, you're looking at it that there's that person who's supposed to get it is at least getting half. I'm looking at it, the one who's not supposed to get it, he's getting unlawfully for sure half. And second of all, if I do shoot at the Dina, maybe Beis Din will really figure it out the right way, who really is supposed to get it.
they'll assess it the right way, and maybe the real winner will really get it. So I consider that shoot is better. So Gemara at this point is coming out that everybody holds like Rabbi Lezer Eidei Mesira, and in Rabbi Lezer itself there's a machlokas whether Cholkin or shoot is a dinah. Fei the Gemara mimotz is mukmas la Rav ka Rabbi Lezer. How could you say that Rav holds like Rabbi Lezer and yet he holds Cholkin? Va'amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav. Rabbi Yudah said the name of Rav. Halacha Rabbi Lezer begitten. The halacha is like Rabbi Lezer by Eidei Mesira by Gittin. When I said this in front of Shmuel, Omar, he said, Af b'shtoris. No, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, not only by Gittin, even by shtoris. Michlal, I can deduce from this, the Rav sover b'shtoris loy. When Rav said the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar by Gittin, and Shmuel said, even by shtoris, so what does Rav hold? Rav holds by shtoris, the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that Eidei Chasima. So how could you say Rav is going according to who? According to Rabbi Elazar, Rav paskin that by shtoris, the halacha is like Rav Meir, Ela Machvarta, must be the correct answers, like we said before. Rav ka Rav Meir, Rav holds like Rav Meir, Eidei Chasima, and therefore he holds Cholkin, Ushmul ka Rav Elazar, Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar, and Eidei Mesira, and therefore he holds Shu the Dinah. Mace, Eidei Gemara asks a question. You're saying, according to Shmuel, that he holds like Rabbi Elazar Shuda. I'll ask you from the following. Shnei shtoris are yotzei b'yamechad. You have two shtoris that are going out on the same day. The halacha is Cholkin. So what do you see? That you see that you do yachloiku tiyufta de Shmuel. This is difficult on Shmuel because Shmuel said Shuda. Amar lach Shmuel. That's not a problem. Ha mani Rab Meiri. That price is going according to Rab Meir. And vana da amri Rab Elazar. I said like Rab Elazar Shuda. You're bringing me Cholkin. That's not going like Rav. And that's not going like Rab Meir. And Rab Meir holds Cholkin, but I'm going according to Rab Elazar. Freidi Gemara, that's not a good answer. Why? E Rab Meir, if you're saying that price is going according to Rab Meir, aim a safe to tell me the safe of that price. Kosav la'echot, umasar la'echot. He wrote it to one and he didn't give him the shtar. And then he wrote it to another and he gave him the shtar. Now, halacha is, zeshemasar la'kanda. The one who received it is kanda. V'e Rab Meir, am I kanda? If it's going according to Rab Meir, so why is that one who got the Masira kanda? Oh, I'm a Eidei Chasima karti. Rab Meir says that you look at the Eidei Chasima. And as far as Eidei Chasima is concerned, they both have Eidei Chasima. And therefore, according to Rab Meir, what should be the halacha? The halacha should be, you don't give it to the one who masar, you split it equally. Eidei Chasima, they both have legitimate shtaris, and the Masira didn't accomplish anything, so yachlaiku. And yet here we say, we go with the Masira. So you see it's going according to Rab Elazar. So the Gemara, what's the Gemara's kasha at this point? That Shmuel is going according to Rab Elazar. And Shmuel cannot say that Bryce is going according to Rab Meir, because we prove from the end of Bryce it's going according to Rab Elazar. So what do we see? We see that even if you hold like Rab Elazar, the din is yachloiku. So how could Shmuel say that if you hold like Rab Elazar, the din is shuda? The Gemara answers, it's a machloikis tanoim. So the Gemara is coming out like this. If Rav holds like Rab Meir Eidei Chasima, the din is for sure Cholkin. If Shmuel holds like Rab Elazar, that Eidei Mesira karti. In Shmuel, there's a machlokas, whether, in Rab Elazar, you have a machlokas tanoim, whether Cholkin or whether Shuda. Where do we see this machlokas? The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, this is the Masechta Gittin, and Rashi brings down what, in the first paragraph of Gittin, what it's speaking about. A person said to a shliach, choylech manal apply me, bring $100 to Ruvein. The halach ubikshu v'loy matzu. I'm reading from the Rashi, divrei hamaskil chachamim aimer. He went to shliach and he didn't find him. Why? Shemes. Because the person that you were supposed to give this mana to died. So the din is, yachshul mishaleach, you should give it back to the person who sent you with the money. Don't leave it over there. Give it back to mishaleach. Meis mishaleach. What happens if mishaleach also died? Yachshul yarshim. Give it back to the sender's inheritors, the yarshim. And then, as the Gemara there explains, the machlokas is whether hoylech kischi. When I tell a shliach that here, go and bring this mana to Reuven in that city over there, am I telling the shliach not just that you're a messenger, but you're actually being zoche it for the person I'm sending to? What happens if I go there and I find he's not alive? Then give it to the yarshim. Or I say, hoylech is not kischi. I was telling you to be a shliach. If you find the person, give it to him. If you don't find the person, I'm not telling you to be zoiche for him and for his descendants. Maybe I don't even like his descendants. I like him, but who says I like his descendants? So there's a machlokes whether you say hoiluch kischi or not. And what is the halacha? The Chachamim, and now we pick up in our Gemara the last part of the Brisa over there. The Chachamim, Oimrim Yachloiku. The Chachamim say, since we have a Machloikus, whether a Shaila, a Suffolk, whether Hoylech Kiski or not, the Din is Yachloiku, they should divide it. What does it mean, divide it? You divide it, in other words, the case over there that the Chachamim are going on is, he went there and he found that the person died. He went back and he found that the sender died. So now, if I say Harlech Kischi, who gets it? The Yorshim of the recipient. If I say Harlech Laf Kischi, then who gets it? I have to give it back to the descendants of the Mishaleach, the sender. So what do? The Chacham is saying, Yachlok divide it. Vekan, and here in Bavel, Amrudei Paskin, Mashi Yitzah, Sholish Yaseh. Whatever the third party wants, he should do. Which is what we would call, the third party means the Shliach, the messenger. Which we would call Shudu Dedina. He should estimate what to do. Who did the Mishaleach have a good relationship with the children of the recipient, or he didn't? He only had a good relationship with the recipient. If he had a good relationship, give it to them. If he didn't have a good relationship with them, then give it back to the Mishaleach's children. Now it's interesting. Here till now we've been speaking about Shuda Dedina, a Bezdin estimating. Now we see the Shliach himself can estimate. If you look at the bottom Taisus, Ime de Rami Bar Chama, he brings down a Rabbeinu Chananel, three lines from the bottom of the Amid, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, the Kaboli Biyadeinu, the Shuda Dedina, Dafka B'Mekarkoi. So first of all, he says the holding of Shuda Dedina is only by Karka, not by Metaltalin. Taisus disagrees. Taisus, as we'll see in the end of Taisus, says from our Gemara, you see, it's not by Karka. Because our Gemara is a case of Shuda Dedina, which was being done with money. Money is not Karka, it's Metaltalin. But that's a Shita Rabbeinu Chananel. He had a Kabbalah. He had this as a tradition. Shud is only by Kark. And also, and here's what's negated to our discussion, V'dafka dayin mumchik Rab Nachman b'dayre. We're going to learn a Gemara further. Rab Nachman paskin Shud d'dayne. Because in the further Gemara, Rav Sheshes was a Gavar Rabba, Hava, he was a great man. V'omalei Rab Nachman, Eincha Dayon Lasa Shud D'Daini. As we're going to see in the Gemara in a few minutes, that Rav Nachman tells Rav Sheshes, you cannot be, even though you're a Dayon, you're a Poisek, you're everything, but you weren't established by the Reish Galusa, you're not the Gadol Hador, you can't do Shud D'Daini. The Linira Shuda Nami B'Metaltli, the Gabe Shliach. He brings a raya from our story that you could say Shuda Dina B'Metaltli. But what I'm focusing on right now is, when is the din of Shuda Dina? So Taisus, Rabbeinu Chananel says it's only by the Poisek Hador, Rabbi Yashiv Shlita. He could do, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, he could do the Shuda Dina. Even a regular gadol like Rav Sheshes, who wasn't appointed by the Reish Galus, he's not the final authority, could not do Shuda Dina. How could the Sholish over here, a Shliach, he's not even a Dayan. How could he do it? So the Mephorshim explained that since the Mishaleach made the Shliach into the person who's going to take care of this matter, he's saying, I consider him like the Gadol Hador. I am leaving it over to his discretion to decide what I want. Whether I want to give it, if he finds that he's my hand. Whatever I would have done, I'm trusting the Shliach to do, and therefore, in this one case, even a Shalish could be the one to decide who gets it. There are a number of machlokes Rishonim exactly. When you say Shuda Dedina, do you say it only by Shtar Maton or Shtar Mecher like our Gemara? Do you say it even by Shtar Pekodin or Shtar Chayv? There's various machlokes Rishonim exactly. You said it by Karka, Metaltan, as we mentioned before. Anyway, so the Gemara is saying that this is a machlokes Tanoim. Your kasha on Shmuel was that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, and yet we find a brisa that says Yachloiku. You know what the answer is? Because there's a machloikus tanoim whether even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Edim Asirikarti, whether the better psak is Yachloiku or whether the better psak is Shuda Dedina, as we explained before to Svoras, why you would say one way or the other. Now the Gemara brings an interesting story of the mother of Rami Bar Chama. Ime de Rami Bar Chama, kasvetinu lenichso leRami Bar Chama betzafra. In the morning, she wrote a shtar matana of her nechasim. I wanted to go to my son, Rami Bar Chama. Leurta, at night, kasvinu lemar ukva Bar Chama. she wrote it to her other son, Marukva Bar Choma. So, also Rami Bar Choma, the comment of Rav Sheshes, Rami Bar Choma came in front of Rav Sheshes, Ukmei Benichse, he said, okay, you have a Shtar Matana, it's yours. Also Marukva, the comment of Rav Nachman, Marukva went to Rav Nachman, Ukmei Benichse, he said, oh, you have a Shtar Matana, it's yours. Also Rav Sheshes, the comment of Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes came to Rav Nachman, Amalei, my time, Ovid Marhochi, why did you, I Paskin, did you go to Rami Bar Choma, and you gave it to Marukva? Amalei, my time, Ovid Marhochi, why did you Paskin, it should all go to Rami Bar Choma? Amalei, the Kadim. Because I know that it was written in the morning, and the other one was written at night. Amalei said to him, Rav Nachman said to Rav Sheshes, Atu Yerushalayim Esvinin. Are we in Yerushalayim? The Kasvinin Shas, as we learned in our Mishnah, they used to write hours. We're not in Yerushalayim. We don't go with hours. As Rashi explains, by the fact that there's no hours, it means that one is not makbid on the other, and basically you're going by the day. So if you're going by the day, did both are valid. And Rashi points out here in Divrei HaMaskil, Ime Derami Bar Choma, V'loi Noida Lemi Masra Tchil Ashtar Matana. We don't know who got it first. They didn't know who got it first. So he asked him back, Elamar, my time of it, Hachi, Rav Sheshes, says back to Rav Nachman, why did you paskin what you did? What does he mean to ask with this question? He says, okay, you've told me that, as far as I'm concerned, since it's not Yerushalayim, one shtar matana is not better than another. If we go like Rav Meir, Eli Chassi McCarthy, they both have valid shtaris, and it's written on the same day. There's no difference of hours. They both can collect. But it should be Achlaiku. Why do you say it all goes to Marukva? It should at least be Achlaiku. Amalei, Shudi Dedaini. Because I'm going like Reb Lezer, that it's Tully and Eidi Masira, and I have to know which one got it first. So I... Now, just to explain a little clearer, that it was written one in the morning and one was written at night, but we don't know who got it first. The Gemara tells us that she wrote to one in the morning and she wrote another one at night to the other side. As far as who she gave it over to, we don't know. So Mimela now, Bezdin has to decide who was her favorite son that she loved the most, that she would want to give it to first, who would be Kona. So I said, I figured from what I know about the relationship between the mother and Marukva, that he was loved more than she loved Rami Bar Choma. And that's why I didn't do Yachlaiku. Amalei, Anonami Shuna Dedani. Oh, if so, so I'm also Shuna Dedani. I think it's Rami Bar Choma. Rashi explains, what does that mean? Since he came to the Din Torah to me first, And then Mar Okva went to you. I had already ruled on this based on Shuda Dedaina, so my psak should be valid, and you shouldn't be able to overturn my psak. Amalei, I have two answers to your thing, said Rav Sheshes to, Rav Nachman to Rav Sheshes. Chada, da no daina umar lav daina. I'm a judge, you're not a judge. Now, even though he was also a judge, but Rashi says that Rav Nachman was appointed by the Rashi Divrei Maskil Anot Dina Alpi Roish Galusa VaYeshiva. The yeshiva and the Roish Galusa, now he was the authority. This is what Rabbeinu Chanana was referring to, that he was the Poisek Ador. So you're a Choshev Yid, I'm not, yes, but Shud the Dina, as the Run explains Rashi, can only be made by the authoritative person in the door. And that's me and not you. And I have a second thing against you, V'yoid, Mikara Lav B'Torah Sochi Eis Law. That's not what you told me to begin with. You told me you gave it to Rami Bar Choma because his was written first. His was written in the morning. I told you that's erroneous psak. Because even if we're going like Rav Meir, Eidei Chasima, but we're not in Yerushalayim. So why is his shtar any more valid than the other? So you didn't tell me it's because of Shuda Dedaina for Rami Bar Choma. If you would have said that, maybe I'd think about it. But your psak was based on Eidich Sima, and Eidich Sima, his was written before, but since we're in Yerushalayim, not in Yerushalayim, it doesn't matter whose was written before. They're all on the same day, we're not going with ours. So therefore, the only thing to leave it as is Shuda Dedaina. My Shuda Dedaina said Marukva, and you weren't even dealing with Shuda Dedaina originally. The Gemara ends with the following story. Hanu trei shtori d'asa l'kamei de Rabbi Yosef. There were two shtoris that came in front of Rabbi Yosef. Chad havikasev b'chamisha b'nissen. One said that this field had been sold on the 5th of Nissan. V'chad havikasev b'nissen stama. And the other one said it was sold in Nissan. Ukmer Rabbi Yosef alhu d'chamisha b'nissen b'nechasem. He gave Rabbi Yosef, and each one wanted this field. Rabbi Yosef said, you know who wins the Din Torah? Mr. Chamisha ben Nissen, he's the one who gets in the chasim. Amar le'idach, so Mr. Nissen said to Rabbi Yosef, no, I've said, I should lose. I have a shtar, it says Nissen. Amar le'idach, Rabbi Yosef said to Mr. Nissen, at yotchal tachtoina, you have a weak claim here. Why? Aim a bar chav tes ben Nissenat. Maybe you bought the field on the 29th day of Nisan. And by the way, Rashi explains that the Gemara here is speaking about a case where both had a charias. Both the mocher said, if somebody takes this field away from you legitimately, I will pay you back what you're paying. So the question is, who won the field? Rabbi Yosef says, Mr. Chamisha ben Nisan wins, because Nisan could mean the 29th. So his ability to buy the field precedes yours. And that's why he wins. Amalei, so then, Mr. Nissen says to Rabbi Yosef, v'nichtev limar, as we turn to Daf Tzadok Hei Amud Aleph, tirfo me'ir ve'elech. Okay, but why, at least, let me get out of this, a shtar tirfo, we've had this before in the Masechta, where Bezdin writes down that a field that was sold, in this case, they would write down a field that was sold to Mr. Nissen, was legitimately taken away from him by Mr. Haynison, and you, the Meicher, sold it with a chwayis, that if it's taken away legitimately, you have to reimburse. So now, and let's say you don't have any money to reimburse, but what about fields that you, the Meicher, sold in Ir? So even if Mr. Nissen meant Chavtes Nissen, but certainly any field that you sold to Lekuchos from Ir and on, if he loses his field to Mr. Haynison, he can turn around to the Lekuchos and say to them, hey, my achrayus came, my lien on the property that you have came before you. Amalei, no, Rabbi Yosef says, you're stuck. Yachli lemei melach, the lekuchais can say back to you, at barchad benissanat. Since you're Mr. Nissen Stam, who says it means chavtes Nissen? We claim that the Nissen means aleph Nissen. And you preceded hey Nissen. You want your field? Go to hey Nissen and tell him, hey Nissen, that's not your field that you bought. You bought my field. Give it back to me. So you don't come to us. So now, my takante, what can this person do? If he goes to Mr. Haynison, Mr. Haynison says, I bought the field correctly, you were Chavtes, go to the Lekuchos. If he goes to Lekuchos, they'll say, hey, you're Mr. Aleph Nissen, go to Mr. Haynison. So the Gemara gives an eitz of what he can do. Nichtivu harsho ladadi, they should write permission one to the other, and they should make each other could be a shliach one for the other, meaning that he should take the shtar mechirat of Haynison, and Mr. Haynison should write on it, I give permission to Mr. Nissen that if I have to collect the field, he can collect on my behalf, and then he goes to the Lekuchos, and he says, give me back the field. And if they say, he's going to say, I was Chavtes Nissen. I was Chavtes Nissen, and I was sold a field that was already sold by Hay Nissen. You owe me a field, because I come before Ir. What are they going to say to him? No, you're Mr. Aleph Nissen, and go to Mr. Hay Nissen. So he has your field. You were Mr. Aleph Nissen. Mr. Hay Nissen gave me permission that if he's going to lose a field, and he's going to have to come to Lekuchos, that I can collect on his behalf. So in other words, one of us, it's either Hay Nissen who bought Aleph Nissen's field, or it's Chavtes Nissen that was sold Hay Nissen's field. One of them was sold a field that was already sold before. And in mail, if I get permission, not only on my own behalf to collect, but I get permission on Hay pay Nissen's behalf, then I can go to Lekuchas and say, Memonev Shach, you have to pay me because either I'm coming on my own claim or I'm coming on the claim of Mr. Hay Nissen.